97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I am one of your hosts, Mark Cox. The other one is Bo Matthews. How are you, Bo?
Right here. I'm present.
Absolutely. Carl Middleman swinging the tunes over there. We appreciate that.
Hopefully the levee does not break this weekend and everyone has a great weekend.
Absolutely. I was driving through the Chesterfield Valley, in fact, with my family the other night, and I pointed out to my mother where the flood levels were in 93. They're right by the Chesterfield Mall on 40. Yeah. As you head down the hill, you had to stop right there, and it was just water. You had to get in boats to go out into the Chesterfield Valley. And I looked at how developed it is now and thought to myself, with all that rain we had last night, are they sure they knew what they were doing rebuilding all of this stuff in the valley, right?
Well, that's a good point. Did they get the levees right, even for last week's storm?
Well, they didn't have any problems that I know of last week down there.
Unbelievable.
But, yeah, it's something else. But, hey, we got a great show for you today. We're glad you're back with us here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We will discuss the Second Amendment in depth in the next segment. We're going to talk to Aiden Johnson. He's with Gun Owners of America. One thing I want to talk to him about are these people walking through the streets in downtown St. Louis with semi-automatic rifles this past weekend. And the St. Louis police major who said there's nothing we can do because of constitutional carry. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But we're going to talk to Aiden Johnson about that and gun owners, because they are, you know, they're seeing attacks on the Second Amendment all across the country. So I think that's an important story.
Can you imagine tourists in town just to come see the arch or the aquarium, and they're driving around trying to find a ice cream, and all of a sudden you see that? That is not what constitutional carry is about. You don't carry a long gun through downtown St. Louis.
Yeah,
it's a little frightening.
Particularly not by the teenagers. That's who we're talking about here specifically. We're going to get that. We're going to get to that, though. And we're going to tell you a little later about a fishtail that the likes of which you've never heard before. I'll just about guarantee it. You've never heard one like this, have you, Bo?
I had to Google what this guy shot. I had to Google it because I'd never heard of it before. Seen things like it, but not quite this big. Yeah, we'll be talking to Jared Cloth about his experience on the St. Mary's River. How did your camping trip go last weekend?
My camping trip went fine, but it's funny you bring that up, because you're really good at radio. Because I towed my 30-foot camper to the Lake of the Ozarks, and my wife separately drove our other vehicle and towed our jet ski. Because you guys said to me, well, why don't you just hook the jet ski to the trailer? And I'm like, I don't think that's legal in Missouri.
Uh-huh. And I've seen crazier stuff on the highway, and I'm sure you were looking for, okay, how many things are people carrying or, you know, towing with them? And so I reached out to the chief of police, the PISA chalief out in Eureka, Mike Wiegand, and I asked him the question. He goes, you know, I don't know for sure 100%, but let's get you somebody from the highway patrol. So from the Missouri Highway Patrol, we have Corporal Logan Bolton on to explain what is legal and what you can tow with your vehicle. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we got into this debate because I believe the length of what you're towing is key. But I've also seen people that have, you know, with a SUV, have pulled a camper and behind that a boat or jet skis or something like that. Is that legal, just what I described?
Yes, that's legal. There's a few stipulations to everything. There's some specifics, and I can go into that whenever you'd like.
Yeah, please, because, okay, you know, I
Mark was wrong
towing boats and trailers for many years, and although I'm pretty good at backing up a single vehicle behind me, I don't know what you'd do if you had a vehicle behind that. I mean, it sounds to me like a traffic nightmare.
Definitely, yeah. It may be legal, but know your own capabilities. If it's not something you have done often for safety reasons, just because it's legal doesn't mean you should do it.
That's a great point. Yeah, that is a great point. So let's talk about what those stipulations are then, Corporal. We got Corporal Logan Bolton on here from the Highway Patrol because we want to get this right because Bo's about to do this. So we need
all right. Well, according to Missouri Revised Statute 304.170, a passenger car may tow two trailers as long as the overall length of the entire combination does not exceed 65 feet. And wow. neither of the trailers being pulled can exceed 28 feet.
So okay. A lot of wow. rules.
Yeah. So right, I'm out. Exactly. I'm out because my trailer is 30 feet long. So I could not tow something behind my trailer.
Oh, there, and you could have saved so much on gas.
That's probably true.
You may save on gas, but you also may use that money on a citation.
and more brakes too, because that's an issue. I mean, you know, you can get up and going with some power, but stopping all of that, or pulling through the gas station. Now you have two trailers that you can bump the post with. You don't want to do that. But okay, so Corporal, can you explain what you've seen in the state of Missouri of people that don't know the laws?
What I've seen, you don't see it all that often, really. Every once in a while you see it, but a lot of times I see a passenger car pulling another couple vehicles behind them, and that's usually like some type of dealer who isn't going to pick up a lot of cars. They're just getting a few, and I've actually seen it. It looks like a trail of three cars attached to each other. You got the one that's driving in front, hauling two unmanned vehicles behind it.
Wow. Now, I could even see that being a little safer than trying to pull it behind an RV. I mean, I imagine that it happens, but I appreciate you clarifying this because I really would never have believed that was legal.
Yeah, it goes a little further, too. Just it kind of ties in together. I was going to hit on this. It also says if you're traveling 10 miles off of an interstate or one of the U.S. highways, if you're going to be 10 miles away from them and hauling two trailers, the length can only then be, it can't exceed 55 feet.
Oh.
So you've got to assume that the law enforcement officer that pulls you over is as versed in this as you are, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. And I had to look into it myself. It's not something you see very often. So that's one of those things you got to go clarify some stuff on.
And if you do get pulled over with that length of towing, you're going to have to wait a little bit because it's going to take the cop a half hour to get up to you, just walk into your door.
right.
This is just for Missouri, by the way. This is just for Missouri law.
Yeah. Right.
This is from Missouri state statute.
Yeah, I don't know what the Illinois laws are. Probably no laws. Just do whatever you want. The most I've seen personally is an SUV. And it was a big diesel SUV pulling a camper, and it had a boat behind it, and then it had a Jeep behind it. Okay. So there's no way that was legal. But I did see it on 44, and I thought, wow, that reminds me of the Australian truck trains, they call them. One driver and like four things behind it. It's crazy out there.
Well, I'm going to avoid that place.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, listen, Corporal Logan Bolton, Missouri Highway Patrol, we appreciate you spelling this out for us and answering our question here on Second Amendment Radio. This is important stuff, and we appreciate you helping us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You have a great day.
Yeah, thanks
all right,
for what you do.
Too.
Yeah, sure will.
Thank you.
Good to get the corporal on here then. So now we know it's legal. It's got to be under 65 feet, but each individual trailer can't be any more than 28. If you're in Missouri, you can triple tow, but it just sounds a little risky to me.
And if they have the wherewithal enough to bring out a tape measure,
yes,
you're screwed.
We should ask you what the penalty was. I don't know what the citation would be. I forgot to ask that question, but
it is interesting to know though about the 28 foot limitation per towing vehicle. So you are definitely 2 feet over on your trailer. But if you're going to upgrade down the road, maybe go with a 28 footer, then you can, do the wave runners on the trailer behind.
Yeah. The technology's come a long way, Bo. And here's the deal. I was marveling at this the other day. I saw a picture from NASA of some new space telescope we have showing a black hole that was 200 million light years away.
Oh, that's the James Webb
and
telescope.
It looked like it was from here to the courthouse over here. I mean, it was that clear. Meanwhile, I have a backup camera on my trailer, and you can't tell where the road starts and the trailer ends. It's that the picture's that bad. So I'm thinking you'd almost have to use good camera technology to be able to tell what the third vehicle was doing back there if you were towing an extra vehicle, right?
Heck yeah. That
you'd have to be able to see it because it would be hidden, completely hidden behind the width of that trailer.
And if somebody's in your blind spot,
yeah,
you're screwed.
Right, and then it would be hard to judge if you had completely gotten past the person you're trying to pass in the left lane before you get back. I wouldn't do it personally. I think it sounds a little
risky. I've now said you're screwed three times, so maybe you should not do this unless you're really good at driving these things.
I think that should be our new bumper sticker for Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Yeah.
If you don't listen, you're screwed. it's just interesting. I love seeing the Class A's pulling a nice car behind them, or the Peterbilt RVs that have a little garage underneath. I mean, that's the category I'm going for. Eventually, someday.
Yeah, I love seeing the Class A's, that are $500,000 to begin with, pulling like a Range Rover or a full-size Bronco behind them.
Driven by a 90-year-old. That's always good.
Well, that's okay. You got it flaunted, right? That's what you want to aim for. I don't know. It's
take
fun,
your though. Home with you.
We had a great time, though. We got to the lake, a little cloudy last weekend, but we were able to get the jet ski out and have a little bit of fun, and it was relaxing. Got to sit by a campfire with a nice glass of bourbon, and that made it all worth it.
Now, do you pull tubes with your wave runners, your jet skis, or whatever they call them?
We can. It's certified to do it. I mean, you have to have a second person on there to watch them when you do it.
A flag holder.
You know what? I'll tell you what. My experience renting those down in Key West was the worst.
Yeah.
You go down there, I'm thinking, I don't own one. I'm going to rent one. So I rent one. The guide takes us out. He says, you see that buoy right there? You see that buoy right there? Those are the buoys you have to stay within. We just sat there and did circles the whole time. I was so mad because it wasn't cheap, but I couldn't go where I wanted
to
go.
You couldn't go far enough out. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I went shopping for them, and then I found out how expensive they were.
Yeah,
and the rental was worth it.
Man alive.
Yeah, it was.
You can pay 10 or 15 grand for one of those. My cousin's got one. I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. Tell you what, coming up, we talked about this earlier. We are going to talk about the gun violence problem in downtown St. Louis and play for you the comments of one of the local police majors when responding to his frustration over, in his words, not being able to do more, and he blamed it on the current gun laws in the state of Missouri. I don't know that I buy it. We're going to talk to somebody from Gun Owners of America about that coming up here in just a minute.
This is shocking. Also, Jared Cloth, he shot something that'll maybe shock you. We're going to talk to him also in Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Stay right there. It is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, my name is Bo Matthews. Carl Middleman is here. And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory, and they are all about getting you a silencer or a suppressor. If you've been looking for one, they have a wonderful kiosk. I'm still in the race with the chief of police out in Eureka, Mike Wiegand. We're in a race. We bet lunch on who's going to get their suppressor first. And he told me that where he went to was paperwork. We did it at the kiosk. Go to RazorbackArmory.com to find out more information. So that race is going on. I'm picking steak and lobster as my winning meal.
This has taken longer than I thought it would, to be honest with you.
Well, it you know what? It should be any day for me, but it will be a long time for the chief out in Eureka, sadly. But anyway, want to welcome in our next guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. His name is Aiden Johnston. He's a Missouri native and director of federal affairs for Gun Owners of America. And it seems like anytime you see a gun story, it's a bad gun story. Well, he is here to discuss the frequency of defensive gun uses, like we saw last week in St. Charles, and how the anti-gun crowd always sweeps those cases under the rug, as well as talking about the alarming reports of the FBI agents asking to review Missouri's concealed carry license records. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Hello, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. You know, it seems like it's always a bad story when it's a gun story. But, man, you know, I read the Rifleman magazine. There's so many good stories where the good guys do take care of business with their firearms. Tell me your experience and what you're seeing.
You know, our rights are under constant assault, it seems like, under this administration. But good guys with guns are out there and saving lives every day. And you know, in St. Louis, we saw it just in the past couple of weeks in St. Charles at a Quick Trip.
Yeah.
You know, a good guy with a gun stopped a madman on a spree, on a robbing spree, and saved lives, right? If that if he hadn't stopped him, he would have gone on to rob more, to harm more people. And that's why we have a Second Amendment. That's why I have a job here defending the constitutional rights of Americans from infringement here in Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, Aiden, Mark Cox here, and it's great having you on. I see this all the time. We saw it at the Quick Trip here. We saw it at the mall in Indianapolis. We saw it at a convenience store in New York, and also in California most recently, where the guy pulled a shotgun out when these criminals came in with armed with semi-automatic rifles, and the guy shot at him with a shotgun and ran him off, right? Those are all great examples. And then on the flip side of that, we have an administration that goes strictly by liberal talking points. They try to label all guns as evil. Right. And they try to do things that they think they can slip under the Second Amendment. They can slip under the door, like magazine capacity limitations and all of this. And at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is that the only people being affected by that are law abiding citizens. The criminals don't care.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the left is so disingenuous on this point. And I work constantly against a giant misinformation campaign. And this is a perfect example. Guns are used more often to save lives than to take lives. The anti-gunners might tell you about 40,000 gun deaths per year. But study after study shows that there are between 500,000 and 3 million defensive gun uses per year. Last year in 2021, a Georgetown study showed over 1.6 million defensive gun uses per year. That means firearms are used 16 to 100 times more often to protect life than to take life. But you never hear that from the anti-gunners.
That's amazing. You know, and that should embolden those who conceal carry. And I would say to you, Aiden Johnston, the Director of Federal Affairs for Gun Owners of America, these are the stories that do need press to understand that it is effective. And the fact that when you decide, you know, as an American, you want to carry, you want to protect yourself and your family, that you really do need to train. And ammo is cheap when you compare it to loss of life. You have to train some more, and then train some more, and get familiar with that firearm. I just had a conversation the other day, Doc Holliday, actually, out in Eureka. He said so many people, he agreed with me, so many people carry a firearm, never train it, maybe even never shot it. And it's frightening. So if you want to be that person, the good guy or the good woman with a gun, train, and train some more. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It is your constitutional right to have a firearm. It's your constitutional right to carry a firearm, and Missouri recognizes that. But I do encourage people to voluntarily go out and get training. You never know what you're going to do in a situation like that. And, you know, if you want to draw your firearm safely and put all your rounds on target in a self-defense situation to save your life or the life of someone you care about, then you're going to need to train to make that happen. And so I encourage everyone who wants to carry a firearm responsibly to go out and train often, not just once, not just a simple concealed carry class, but go to the range and, you know, practice your draw, practice your carry. And you know what? If you do take that class, you're probably going to pick up some good tips on, you know, what's a good holster, what's an unsafe holster, and you know, how to carry. It'll be good for you.
Yeah, you got to do that, Aiden. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of constitutional carry, but at the end of the day, I encourage everyone who listens to my show to go get their concealed carry license, because then you get reciprocity in most of the states these days that recognize your concealed carry license. You can then take it with you when you go to those states. Plus, you have to take some mandatory training and education on state laws and when to use it and when not to use it. It's just a great idea to go ahead and get that concealed carry license. You know, you're from Missouri, correct?
Absolutely. That was where I got my first license to carry.
Oh, that's awesome. Are you from where in Missouri?
So I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, nice. Well, that's where we are. And I want to, we had an incident downtown this past weekend, and I played this interview from a local TV station, Channel 4 here, where I used to work for many years. And it was with a local police major named Ryan Cousins. So here's what happened. They had a bunch of teenagers downtown. Some of them were openly carrying weapons walking through downtown. They were randomly shooting at buildings and glass got broken out. A couple of people got shot downtown. This, I want to play for you Channel 4's coverage of this and focus on what the St. Louis police major, Ryan Cousins, blames for the problem. Listen.
There's really no age limit. Everyone pretty much is carrying right now.
Teens armed with guns, a trend surrounding downtown's violence that News 4 has been tracking for months. Like this shooting involving teenagers downtown in May, another in June sending two teenage girls to the hospital, and this past weekend where teens are seen carrying assault-style weapons down Washington Avenue.
We're doing the best that we can, but for right now it's very challenging because as opposed to where we had a law where we could stop somebody and if they had a legal weapon, we could either take it or take him in custody. Right now, we really can't do anything.
So his argument seems to be that because of constitutional carry, the police in the city of St. Louis can no longer stop teenagers from carrying guns. Now, the last time I checked the law, and Aiden, you can back me up on this, an 18-year-old can't even buy a handgun. I know they can't in the state of Missouri. And you've got to be 19 now to get a concealed carry license. Why can't the police stop these teenagers and ask them whether or not they're carrying a weapon? And if they are, their chances are they're carrying it illegally.
Yeah, someone should tell the police chief that there is absolutely nothing legal about walking down the street and shooting up buildings and locals. That's absolutely ridiculous. Constitutional carry is a way for Missouri to respect the Second Amendment and respect the rights of individuals. And, you know, the government, the police should be encouraging that for public safety, right? We are all safer when good Samaritans stop robbers on violent, spreets. And we want to see more of what happened in St. Charles and less of these kinds of crimes. And if there's someone on scene with a firearm, with, you know, training that's capable, you know, we could see these situations stop very quickly as opposed to continue.
Yeah, I just the fact that a police major, and I'm sure he's parroting what the police chief believes, because the police chief here is appointed by the very progressive left wing mayor. They want to make the argument that the city of St. Louis should get a carve out from constitutional carry because it'll allow them to better enforce gun laws. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Bo, do you have any thoughts on that?
You know what? It's frightening to think that we've come to this time in 2022 where, young people are just walking down a city street with an AR. It wasn't a riot or anything. It was almost like, you know, when I was a kid, we'd go out to the country with our rifles and, you know, go shooting, target shooting or something like that. And that's how they're treating downtown St. Louis. How's that look for optics for tourists coming to St. Louis? I'd probably pick someplace else if I saw that in the news.
Yeah.
It's a little frightening and very irresponsible. But for the fact that the law enforcement doesn't believe that they can stop them, you know, that's the thing about law-abiding gun owners is you can be stopped and you can be questioned and answered and move on about your day. I don't understand. It's almost like there's a fear. They're scared of something.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know if it's just being politically correct or they're willing to sacrifice the rights of law-abiding citizens just to make a political point. That's what it seems to me like. We have a prosecutor here that won't prosecute crime, and therefore the criminals they're emboldened by it. And Aiden, I'm sure that's something you guys see across the country right now as well.
Absolutely. We are not punishing violent criminals for committing violent crimes, and instead we're picking on lawful gun owners, and it's absolutely outrageous. But there is no way that if teenagers were walking down the street shooting guns at the buildings, that there was nothing that the police could do. If you were a police officer and you show up and someone's shooting at the buildings or whatever, you know, I suppose you could try to have a conversation with them. You know, they're not gonna be they're not gonna respond lawfully and say, "Oh yeah, this is our reason for you know, indiscriminately shooting." That's absolutely ridiculous. You pull up to that situation, you start shooting back.
I have a lot of friends who are police officers in the city and in the county, and I know that those comments are not reflective of the way a lot of those street officers feel, the ones that are on the street. I think that's reflective of the politicians in the city.
To the red file cops opposing most of this kind of gun control, and it's really anti-gun police leadership, and like you said, these anti-gun appointees that don't support the Second Amendment that want to infringe on stuff like constitutional carry.
It's almost like the messages they want to, you know, the mayor wants to say, see, this is what you're going to get with constitutional carry. It's all on you. And that's not true. Aiden Johnston is our guest director of Federal Affairs for Gun Owners of America. Want to speak to some alarming reports of FBI agents asking to review Missouri's concealed carry licensee records. What can you say about that subject?
Well, so there's a lot of interplay between the federal government and the FBI and the background check system and concealed carry permits. But here's the bottom line. The federal government has no business investigating who owns, who has a concealed carry permit. These are very delicate databases of people who own and carry firearms. And I am proud to see the Attorney General defending the privacy of these gun owners. The FBI has no business looking at these, and especially given the Second Amendment protection laws that have been passed by our local government. This is a very strong move, and I'm very proud to be a Missourian and see Eric Schmidt defend our rights this way.
Well, that's outstanding. Aiden Johnston with the Gun Owners of America. So I have to ask, you're from St. Louis. Where'd you go to high school?
I went to St. Louis Priory.
Okay. All right.
Priory,
very nice.
Boy.
There you go.
You don't know that school.
Yeah, we do. I do. My daughter dated a guy from Priory for a long time in high school.
There you have it. See, it's small world.
But Mark doesn't.
Sure I do. Absolutely. Been to that campus several times. That's cool.
Mason and 40.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. Listen, Aiden, we appreciate your time. Great information, and it's gunowners.org is the website, correct?
That is correct.
Love having
Keep
you guys.
Keep up the good fight, buddy.
Yeah, love having you guys on the show. Keep up the good work, and particularly at the court level, because I know Gun Owners is involved in a lot of these legal challenges across the country as well.
Yep, we're fighting in New York against their continued infringements against concealed carriers there, despite the recent Supreme Court case. So we will keep up the fight, and thank you guys so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Outstanding. Aiden Johnston there with the Gun Owners of America, Director of Federal Affairs, and one of St. Louis' own. How about that? That's awesome.
Love that. Love that.
Coming up, do you know what a capybara is? Bo Matthews?
I do, because I'm this many years old when I found out, because I just looked it up. Just being honest, brother.
Thank you. Well, I didn't either. And then somebody, a bow fisherman, shot one over in Illinois. And we're going to get him on the radio here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors to hear this. I can't call it a fish story, but this bow fishing story that you won't
Google
hardly
it.
Believe when we come back.
Whiskey River, take my mind.
Hey, we got a classic going there, Bo Matthews. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's like, it's so good, I almost need a cigarette after it's over.
I'm telling you what. Hey,
little Willie.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I won't ask you what kind of cigarette that would be since Willie's involved.
No. Well played.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, I told you about this last segment. I had to look up what a capybara was after I read this story, and then I had to educate myself a little bit. So I don't know how common It is for people to really know what we're talking about here. But we do have Jared Cloth on the phone with us now here on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. He is a bow fisherman, and he was down on the St. Mary's River recently when he encountered a capybara. Hey, Jared, welcome to the show. Great to have you on, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Never better.
No, that's good. That's good. So you have to... I have to ask, first of all, before we get into the details of what you ended up harvesting when you were bow fishing, had you ever seen one of these before?
Maybe when I was a kid at the zoo. And when I first seen it, I actually thought it was like a Nutra from down south that might have hitched a ride on a barge. But I was wrong on that. It's a little bit bigger than that.
Wow. So, no kidding. So, kind of set this up for us. So, what are you normally bow fishing for when you're out on the St. Mary's River?
Usually, it's just Asian carp, gar, just trash fish. But that evening, I was actually out trying to catch some bait for a trout line. I hadn't run one in years, and I was going to do it that night, and I didn't get around to it, needless to say.
I guess not.
We need to describe this, and I want to spell it out. If anybody wants to Google this while the show's going on and we're talking to Jared here, it's capybaras. Think giant rodent. It's a close relative of guinea pigs, and they are found much of northern and central South America. How the heck did this thing get in our area, or are they common?
No, they are not common at all. They say there's actually some in Florida, a wild population, but it's believed that this one probably got loose from captivity somewhere, but nobody's come forward and said where.
Wow.
Are they legal to have in Missouri or Illinois?
As a pet? I don't think they're legal to have in Illinois, but I know there are some in Missouri.
Interesting. So Jared, you were out bow fishing. I assume it was still... daylight. You do this in the daylight, correct?
Yeah, it was 5:30 when I shot it.
Okay, and you're on a boat?
Yep, I was out there just trying to shoot some fish for a trout line, and I seen it swimming way down the river, and I thought it was a beaver. I didn't think nothing of it at first, but it just kept coming, and when it got closer, everything changed.
So at the moment everything changed, tell me what's going through your mind, because you're looking at something in the water that I'm assuming, unless you saw it at the zoo years ago, you'd never seen before. What were you thinking at that point?
Well, I knew it wasn't supposed to be there from the get-go. Like, once it got up there, you know, for a second I thought it might have been a hog, because there are some in southern Illinois, and I thought maybe, but then it crawled up on the bank next to me. And I didn't know what that thing was. And then right off the bat, I called Ralph Severs, our local game warden, and said, hey, what should I do? But, yeah, I ended up taking it.
After you talked to the game warden, is that you waited to talk to him?
Do what?
Oh, I said you actually waited to shoot it before you talked to the game warden.
Well, I called him, and he didn't answer. And
oh. You know,
when I was thinking there's a neutral at this time, and I was like, that is the last thing we want started up here, because them invasive species, I don't know if anybody's ever been hit in the face with Asian carp, but they're never fun. Invasive species are just a problem. So I went ahead and shot it, and he called me back right away, and he's like, yeah, go ahead and kill it. And he said, we don't want them here. And I said, good, because I killed it.
Okay. Okay, so your first thought when it was swimming, you thought it was a beaver, but this is actually, describe how big this is compared to a beaver, and how big is this physically?
It's about the size of an average doe. You know,
wow.
About 80 to 90 pounds this one is, but they get up to 175.
Dang, that's crazy. So I watch a show called Alone, and a guy was able to kill a beaver, and there was a lot of meat in the tail, which I did not know. Is this something that you can find a recipe on Google for, or what did you do with it?
I actually got it processed the other day, and the plan is to grill him up on Sunday. But how we're going to prepare it, we don't know. We figured we'd try it like a variety pack. I heard it's kind of like pork, so... we're just going to play with it and see what happens.
At least you didn't say chicken.
Yeah, I don't think it tastes like chicken.
So, you know, on the serious side of this for a minute, I mean, obviously this made headlines because these things are not common or expected to be found in the St. Mary's River for sure. But you've gotten a lot of negative feedback over your decision here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of haters on there. And it's kind of time to do some of them.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, just describe what they were mad about. They didn't understand why you decided to harvest it, I guess.
Well, people don't understand, and, you know, a lot of them are just people that don't get out and enjoy the outdoors and realize how much damage these invasive species do. You know, they're all across the country of all different types, but the big one that hits us is the Asian carp.
Right.
When species that aren't supposed to be there, they don't have natural predators, and they just wreak havoc and cause all kinds of trouble. The
Jared Cloth. Jared is our guest. He is he shot a capybara on the St. Mary's River. You know, you're talking about invasive species, and in the state of Missouri, we are seeing an invasion, certainly in the southern part, and moving to the north is wild hogs. And I've seen pictures of the ground that they are tearing up. I mean, and they're tearing up farm fields. They're tearing up people's livelihood and personal belongings and stuff. And they're dangerous because those things run in swarms. Thank goodness this capybara didn't run in a swarm.
Right. Yeah,
you needed more bows.
Right.
Yeah, you need more arrows with you.
I took it with my kid's youth bow, so it made it even more fun.
Yo, yeah, I'll bet it did. Now, was it in the water? Was it back in the water by the time you were able to take it, or was it up on the bank? Or I mean, how is it acting? Are they aggressive?
No, they're very passive, and they aren't scared of anything. It just sat there on the bank, I guess, waiting on me to move on. And after I stuck it, it tried to take off, but then I'm tethered to it because I'm using a bow fishing rig. And then the fight was on. Oh. Finally got in the water. It was a mess.
Wow.
And were you alone?
I was all by myself.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah. Well, just the article that I read on Field and Stream says that they were deliberately brought from South America in 1889 for the fur trade because, you know, beaver pelts were a pricey thing or a popular thing back then. So I guess they were just trying to increase the fur business in the U.S., but that was a bad move, wouldn't you say?
Are you talking about the capybaras or are you talking about a Nutri-Rat?
I'm talking about it says the critter similarly to Nutria. Oh, you're right. Okay. The Nutria was brought here from South America. My bad.
That's okay. Yeah, no, the Nutria, they're apparently a big problem. You see them on swamp people all the time. That's what they feed to alligators.
Yeah. 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 You know, I wonder about that though. I mean, I looked at the picture of this thing. I don't know anybody would look at it and think that it was cute, but the criticism seemed to be aimed at, well, why did you have to kill it? But my guess is if you found an alligator in the St. Mary's River where people boat and recreate all the time, you'd face the same dilemma and people probably wouldn't be as concerned about that because an alligator can certainly cause physical damage to people and harm people.
Right. And the way I kind of see it is who wants a whole bunch of 90-pound rats running around?
Yeah, that's true.
That's the way I look at it.
That's a great point.
You know what, Mark? I've been to New Orleans, and there's a famous restaurant down there. They have this huge outdoor patio, and the only time I was on this patio, I'm looking on the brick wall that surrounded this patio dining area. And there were just rats just walking right along, just minding their own business. I was like, does anybody see this over here? This is a problem.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Jared, I'd be interested in knowing what your meal tastes like on Sunday, but did it ever cross your mind that maybe you should get this thing mounted?
We did cape it out, and the cape is at a taxidermist.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So you are getting it mounted.
Yeah, it's too good a story not to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think it'd be a good conversation piece.
It's going to sit right next to the jackalope on your wall.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it's definitely been a wild ride, and I really can't believe how much it's blowed up and the stories that have come out and how far it's went.
Well, Jared, I tell you what, it's a great fish story, even though it's not a fish, and I'm glad you were able to share it with us here on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, good luck, and let us know if you get anything else out of the ordinary down there.
I will do.
Like a shark. Sharks occasionally make it up this way.
Hey, it's another weekend this weekend. We'll see what happens.
All right. That's Jared Cloth. Jared, thank you for your time today. We appreciate that.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you bet, man. That's great. Who knew? And he's getting it mounted. I would have. That would have been my first thought was, when am I ever going to see something like this again? Right.
In you know, the hemisphere. Coolest part of the story for me, the coolest part of the story for me is he had the game warden's number in his phone.
Oh, yeah.
That's connections.
You'd want to know, right? You just want to be on the safe side. Is there any reason I shouldn't take this out? Yeah, absolutely.
And he got permission.
Good stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Although after the fact.
Well, I mean, he did the right thing for sure. Wow, what a show. We've had a lot for you today. And get out there and enjoy those great outdoors. Bo Matthews, thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. Yep. Please share this show. It's always a podcast at 97.1 FM Talk. Share it with those that are Second Amendment supporters or those who love the great outdoors, which everybody should enjoy.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the next edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let a memory talk to me.
Hey, we got a classic going there, Bo Matthews. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's like, it's so good, I almost need a cigarette after it's over.
I'm telling you what. Hey,
Little Willie.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I won't ask you what kind of cigarette that would be since Willie's involved.
No. Well played.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, by the way, I told you about this last segment. I had to look up what a capybara was after I read this story, and then I had to educate myself a little bit. So I don't know how common it is for people to really know what we're talking about here. But we do have Jared Cloth on the phone with us now here on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. He is a bow fisherman, and he was down on the St. Mary's River recently when he encountered a capybara. Hey, Jared, welcome to the show. Great to have you on, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Never better.
No, that's good. That's good. So you have to... I have to ask, first of all, before we get into the details of what you ended up harvesting when you were bow fishing, had you ever seen one of these before?
Maybe when I was a kid at the zoo. And when I first seen it, I actually thought it was like a Nutra from down south that might have hitched a ride on a barge. But I was obviously wrong on that. It's a little bit bigger than that.
Wow. So,
bigger than that.
Yeah, no kidding. So kind of set this up for us. So what are you normally bow fishing for when you're out on the St. Mary's River?
Usually it's just Asian carp, gar, just trash fish. But that evening I was actually out trying to catch some bait for a trout line. I hadn't run one in years, and I was going to do it that night. And I didn't get around to it, needless to say.
I guess not.
We need to describe this, and I want to spell it out. If anybody wants to Google this while the show's going on and we're talking to Jared here, it's capybaras. Think giant rodent. It's a close relative of guinea pigs, and they are found much of northern and central South America. How the heck did this thing get in our area, or are they common?
No, they are not common at all. They say there's actually some in Florida, a wild population, but it's believed that this one probably got loose from captivity somewhere, but nobody's come forward and said where.
Wow.
Are they legal to have in Missouri or Illinois?
As a pet? I don't think they're legal to have in Illinois, but I know there are some in Missouri.
Interesting. Interesting. So Jared, you were out bow fishing. I assume it was still daylight. You do this in the daylight, correct?
Yeah, it was 5:30 when I shot it.
Okay, and you're on a boat?
Yep, I was out there just trying to shoot some fish for a trout line, and I seen it swimming way down the river, and I thought it was a beaver. I didn't think nothing of it at first, but it just kept coming, and when it got closer, everything changed.
So at the moment everything changed, tell me what's going through your mind, because you're looking at something in the water that I'm assuming, unless you saw it at the zoo years ago, you'd never seen before. What were you thinking at that point?
Well, I knew it wasn't supposed to be there from the get-go. Like, once it got up there, you know, for a second I thought it might have been a hog, because there are some in southern Illinois, and I thought maybe, but then it crawled up on the bank next to me. And I didn't know what that thing was. And then right off the bat, I called Ralph Sievers, our local game warden, and said, hey, what should I do? But, yeah, I ended up taking it.
After you talked to the game warden, is that you waited to talk to him?
Losing. Do what?
Oh, I said you actually waited to shoot it before you talked to the game warden.
Well, I called him, and he didn't answer.
Oh. You know,
when I was thinking it was a neutral at this time, and I was like, that is the last thing we want started up here because them invasive species, I don't know if anybody's ever been hit in the face with Asian carp, but they're never fun. The invasive species are just a problem. So I went ahead and shot it, and he called me back right away, and he's like, yeah, go ahead and kill it. And he said, we don't want them here. And I said, good, because I killed it.
Okay. Okay, so your first thought when it was swimming, you thought it was a beaver. But this is actually, describe how big this is compared to a beaver, and what how big is this physically?
It's about the size of an average doe. You know,
wow.
About 80 to 90 pounds this one is, but they get up to 175.
Dang, that's crazy. So I watch a show called Alone, and a guy was able to kill a beaver, and there was a lot of meat in the tail, which I did not know. Is this something that you can find a recipe on Google for, or what did you do with it?
I actually got it processed the other day, and the plan is to grill him up on Sunday. But how we're going to prepare it, we don't know. We figured we'd try like a variety pack. I heard it's kind of like pork, so... we're just going to play with it and see what happens.
At least you didn't say chicken.
Yeah, I don't think it tastes like chicken.
So, you know, on the serious side of this for a minute, I mean, obviously this made headlines because these things are not common or expected to be found in the St. Mary's River for sure. But you've gotten a lot of negative feedback over your decision.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of haters on there. And it's kind of comical through some of them.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, just describe what they were mad about. They didn't understand why you decided to harvest it, I guess.
Well, people don't understand. And, you know, a lot of them are just people that don't get out and enjoy the outdoors and realize how much damage these invasive species do. You know, they're all across the country of all different types. But the big one that hits us is the Asian carp.
Right.
When species that aren't supposed to be there, they don't have natural predators, and they just wreak havoc and cause all kinds of trouble.
Jared is our guest. He is he shot a capybara on the St. Mary's River. You know, you're talking about invasive species, and in the state of Missouri, we are seeing an invasion. Certainly in the southern part, and moving to the north is wild hogs, and I've seen pictures of the ground that they are tearing up. I mean, and they're tearing up farm fields. They're tearing up people's livelihood and personal belongings and stuff, and they're dangerous because those things run in swarms. Thank goodness this capybara didn't run in a swarm.
Right? Yeah.
You needed more bows.
Right?
Yeah, you need more arrows with it. You know,
I took it with my kid's youth bow, so it made it even more fun.
Yo, yeah, I'll bet it did. Now, was it in the water? Was it back in the water by the time you were able to take it, or was it up on the bank? Or I mean, how is it acting? Are they aggressive?
No, they're very passive, and they aren't scared of anything. It just sat there on the bank, I guess, waiting on me to move on. And after I stuck it, it tried to take off, but then I'm tethered to it because I'm using a bow fishing rig. And then the fight was on. Oh. Finally got in the water. It was a mess.
Wow.
And were you alone?
I was all by myself.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah. Well, just the article that I read on Field and Stream says that they were deliberately brought from South America in 1889 for the fur trade because, you know, beaver pelts are you know, were a pricey thing or a popular thing back then. So I guess they were just trying to increase the fur business in the U.S., but that was a bad move, wouldn't you say?
Are you talking about the capybaras or are you talking about a Nutri-Rat?
I'm talking about it says the critter similarly to Nutria. Oh, you're right. Okay. The Nutria was brought here from South America. My bad.
That's okay. Yeah, no, the Nutria, they're apparently a big problem. You see them on swamp people all the time. That's what they feed to alligators.
Yeah, you know, I wonder about that, though. I mean, I looked at the picture of this thing. I don't know anybody would look at it and think that it was cute. But the criticism seemed to be aimed at, well, why did you have to kill it? But my guess is if you found an alligator in the St. Mary's River where people boat and recreate all the time, you'd face the same dilemma, and people probably wouldn't be as concerned about that because an alligator can certainly cause physical damage to people and harm people.
Right. And the way I kind of see it is who wants a whole bunch of 90-pound rats running around?
Yeah, that's true.
I look at it.
That's a great point.
You know what, Mark? I've been to New Orleans, and there's a famous restaurant down there. They have this huge outdoor patio, and the only time I was on this patio, I'm looking on the brick wall that surrounded this patio dining area, and there were just rats just walking right along, just minding their own business. I was like, does anybody see this over here? This is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jared, I'd be interested in knowing what your meal tastes like on Sunday, but did it ever cross your mind that maybe you should get this thing mounted?
We did cape it out, and the cape is at a taxidermist.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So you are getting it mounted.
Yeah, it's too good a story not to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think it'd be a good conversation piece.
It's going to sit right next to the jackalope on your wall.
it's definitely been a wild ride, and I really can't believe how much it's blowed up and the stories that have come out and how far it's went.
Well, Jared, I tell you what, it's a great fish story, even though it's not a fish, and I'm glad you were able to share it with us here on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, good luck, and let us know if you get anything else out of the ordinary down there.
I will do.
Like a shark. Sharks occasionally make it up this way.
Hey, it's another weekend this weekend. We'll see what happens.
All right. That's Jared Kloth. Jared, thank you for your time today. We appreciate that.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you bet, man. That's great. Who knew? And he's getting it mounted. That would have been my first thought was, when am I ever going to see something like this again? Right?
You know, the coolest part of the story for me? The coolest part of the story for me is he had the game warden's number in his phone.
Yeah.
That's connections.
You'd want to know, right? You just want to be on the safe side. Is there any reason I shouldn't take this out? Yeah, absolutely.
And he got permission.
Good stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Although after the fact.
Well, I mean, he did the right thing for sure. Wow, what a show. We've had a lot for you today. And get out there and enjoy those great outdoors. Bo Matthews, thank you, my friend.
Absolutely. Yep. Please share this show. It's always a podcast at 97.1 FM Talk. Share it with those that are Second Amendment supporters or those who love the great outdoors, which everybody should enjoy.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the next edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.